Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you on a Monday. The big news here locally today and around the NBA. Kevin Durant is a Houston Rocket. The trade agreed to yesterday. Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, the 10th pick in this draft, and a slew of second-round picks headed to Phoenix. Kevin Durant coming to Houston. Joining us right now to talk about that trade, one of the best when it comes to breaking down the NBA. You can hear him on SiriusXM's NBA channel. He's a contributor to NBA TV as well. Brian Geltzeiler joining us right now. Geltz, it's great to talk to you. How you doing? That was a busy day yesterday for you NBA folks, Geltz.
You know, we always say, Sean, he's busier than a one-legged man in an ass-kicking contest,
right?
They had us running around everywhere yesterday.
Yeah.
In terms of just, you know, between the Durant trade, which having to break that down, Game 7 of the finals, which really didn't disappoint. You would have wanted a little closer, but it certainly had plenty of drama and had the disappointment, I guess, of Tyrese Halliburton's injury. But crazy, crazy NBA day yesterday, and kind of it's not really going to let up here. I mean, the games end, but a different set of games off the court begin starting yesterday. Actually started with the Bane trade, but really kicks into high gear this
week. Yeah, I mean, in terms of name power, it doesn't get much bigger than Kevin Durant. So, well, I mean, we'll break this thing down, Geltz, but just off the top, have the Rockets put themselves in the conversation with Oklahoma City in the Western Conference with this deal?
They may have been in the conversation with Oklahoma City before this deal, yeah, but they're certainly in the conversation now. Listen, I think you have to understand the context of what the Rockets did in this deal and how they handled it, where they wouldn't give and where they did give to get it done. So understanding this, listen, the Suns knew better than to ask for Şengün or Thompson in a package. I'm not sure if they did or they didn't, but it was summarily dismissed and a deal never would have happened with those two. The other three guys that were interesting that ended up being in this deal per se, not necessarily permanently, but in this deal untouchable, were Jabari Smith, Reed Shepard, and Tari Eason. And Eason's going to factor in important here. So when you take a look at what the Rockets decided to do to bring in Kevin Durant, and this is not Oklahoma City Kevin Durant or Golden State Kevin Durant, it's Phoenix Kevin Durant. And not that he's not a fantastic scorer and not that he's not going to be a great fit and help this team out a ton, but he's going to be 37 years old when the season starts. So it's important to understand that, you know, it's Durant's still great. It's not the same top version of Durant. But you were still able to add Kevin Durant here for your sixth most valuable guy in your front office's eyes. And listen, it's the thing about Jalen Green is that, I mean, this is the ultimate feast or famine guy. This is as feast or famine as it gets, and I think it got very hard for the Rockets because when he's on, you want to ride him as much as you possibly can. I think of the text I sent you, Shawnee. I referred to him as the veal chop special. Mm-hmm. I'm a big veal chop guy. You can absolutely hit a home run, could be the best thing on the menu, but I've gone to a steakhouse, they've pushed the veal chop on me, and it's $20 more and doesn't taste all that good. That's Jalen Green right there. He is the veal chop special. He's even going to be the best thing on the menu or the absolute worst thing on the menu, but he's going to cost you a lot of money. So for right here with where it went, I thought Houston did a great job. Listen, they don't need another rookie scale contract on the books right now. So trading 10 to get some good value here made a whole lot of sense. The one loss in this, and the fives, listen, seconds are important in the NBA, yet always easy to replenish. So I'm not worried about the seconds, and I know that put it over the hump. The one loss here is Dylan Brooks, who really did a super job of helping elevate this Rockets team by being that veteran presence, by kind of being the role model for the grind. and really everybody else kind of picked it up and went off of that. But that brings us full circle back to the importance of Tari Eason and all this. I think they feel like they can get, you know, what Brooks brought with Eason and maybe even more upside in terms of athleticism and the ability to be, I don't know about a frontline scorer, but a pretty consistent scorer and be a terrific two-way guy and a big-time stopper. I see that with Tari Eason at this point. So keeping him in this deal when you knew you had to sacrifice Brooks for salary purposes, I think was very, very important for the Rockets.
Brian, I'm very excited about this trade. And at the same time, I'm trying to be realistic and, you know, remember that Durant has missed serious time in three of the last four seasons. He's going to be 37 years old. Is there anything that jumps out at you that I could be genuinely optimistic about in terms of load management or anything else where they might do a better job of avoiding injury?
Well, the thing is this, Steph, and I think it's important to note this. Phoenix had, like, nothing outside of Durant and Booker. Beal turned into a $54 million nothing. And so, yes, there was some Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal. If they wanted to win a lot of games, they'd play Kevin Durant in a lot of minutes. Think about how many games the Rockets chose to finish games with Jalen Green on the bench. There were plenty of games they chose to finish with Dylan Brooks on the bench. My point being is that they don't have to play Kevin Durant 37 minutes a game. They can play Kevin Durant early parts of the season 27 to 30 minutes a game, because there's the thing, a beautiful part about what Raphael Stone has done with this Rockets roster is the vast amount of depth. I mean, we're having this whole conversation. We haven't brought up Cam Whitmore's name, like, who's a wonderful young player who just frankly is a victim of, or at least up till now has been a victim of a numbers game. Now you're kind of one less in that rotation. Allows him to elevate up. These are all ways that you can check Durant's minutes a little bit and stretch him out. I'm not a huge proponent of how sitting games being something that really helps guys be healthy for later in season. I don't think there's any scientific evidence that says it. However, I am a proponent of spotting guys' minutes and keeping kind of minutes in the, you know, the beginning and the middle of the season pretty moderated for older players. I think there's a history there of showing that that helps guys later in the year. And the Rockets really are the ideal place for Kevin Durant to go at this place of his career. It's kind of the perfect marriage of team and player in the respect that you saw in the playoffs. The Rockets just didn't have that go-to guy to get a bucket when they needed it. They tried to make it Şengün, and he's fine as a number two dude, but he's not a lead guy that way. Kevin Durant needed to go somewhere where he was going to be traded and there was enough around him to be able to compete, and a place where his scoring and his ability to get his own shot was going to have a massive effect and not take usage away from other guys that should have it. This is all that perfect mix. I love this trade for Durant. I love this trade for the Houston Rockets. Listen, I thought the Rockets would be in the conversation with the Thunder before this trade. Now they are right there with them.
Yeah, just to illustrate that point you made about his minutes played, like last year, he played more minutes per game than he did in his age 26 through 31
yep.
seasons.
Wow.
Yeah, it just the usage can definitely be a lot different. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah.
Yep.
Brian.
And Seth, one other thing related to that. A lot of that here in coming to the Rockets is based upon the coach and the program. Everybody in Phoenix last year was essentially coaching, playing, and managing the team for their job. And that forces coaches into bad decisions sometimes and general managers into bad decisions sometimes. In this case, for the Rockets, Ime Udoka just signed a contract extension. Raphael Stone has been absolutely outstanding. No one has to go do anything to try to save their jobs, and they can take a long-term perspective on where they want to be in mid to late May and June.
So what's next, Geltz? We're talking to Brian Geltziler, SiriusXM NBA and NBA TV, joining us on the show. They still got a ton of assets here if they want to make another move. I think they've got the mid-level exception available to them, if I'm not mistaken. What if you're Raphael Stone, what are the other moves that you're looking at possibly right now to put even more finishing touches on this?
Probably not many. I like my rotation as is. I think put Durant in this rotation, it's really good. And there's one other big meatball out there, Shawnee, and that's the fact that at some point or another, the Rockets, at least for the next year, I would say, into next summer through this year's trade deadline, the Rockets need to make sure that they're leaving enough dry powder that if Milwaukee decides to part ways with Giannis, they can go step forward and do something for that. And I think that has to be where I am if I'm the Rockets right now. I'm looking at my rotation. I'm looking at who I'm going to start. You know, you do have the Fred VanVleet contract. That whole thing's got to be dealt with. Do you want to stretch him out over 3 years and go from there? Those conversations are ongoing right now. But beyond that, I don't know that I want to do a heck of a lot more here. I want to see if I can get Shepherd indoctrinated into a rotation this year, because that shooting will be very helpful. But he really didn't look ready this year. So that's something else I want to work on. But I do think kind of giving some of these young guys that haven't had much of an opportunity, I think is important. Whitmore's a guy I mentioned before who I think has got a whole lot to offer on the scoring side. And listen, keep in mind the theme I'm at here, guys. There was scoring issues on this team this year. They guard anybody, but there were scoring issues on this team this year. So we're talking about what? Bringing in Kevin Durant, one of the great scorers in the history of the sport. We're talking about a bench guy who heats up quick and Cam Whitmore getting more minutes. And we're talking about Reed Shepherd shooting. I think they're covering what the weaknesses are. And again, not that you want a pipe dream for Giannis, but I mean, if you're the Knicks right now and Giannis comes available and you pretty much gave everything you had for Mikal Bridges and fell short in the way you fell short, you're kicking yourself if Giannis comes available. Mm-hmm. I don't think the Rockets want to be that team. And they keep this in mind. They were able to do this deal with the Phoenix Suns and keep every single one of the Suns' picks that they have. That it was an unbelievably good job by Stone. And I got to tell you, I wouldn't do anything right now. I'd wait and see how this team gels and maybe come trade deadline, something around the margins. But I'd keep a very, very close eye on what's happening in Milwaukee, Wisconsin.
Geltz, I think the other concern, in addition to the medical concerns that Seth brought up potentially with Kevin Durant, would be the contract going forward. He's in a contract year. This is the last year of his deal, but we can see which way the wind's blowing on this thing. There's going to be, I would imagine, some sort of extension. What do you envision that looking like? And what are the Rockets exactly heading into here, considering all the young guys that they still need to, if they want to keep them as part of the core here, going to take care of them in some fashion, including Amen Thompson, who might be a max guy when he comes available.
Amen Thompson has to be a max guy. Yeah. He's not a max guy in a second contract. I don't know what one looks right. like. So that's common. The thing is this, Sean, about Durant. Durant had given, initially he gave three destinations that were his preference: San Antonio, Houston, and Miami, in no particular order. But that very quickly went to just Houston and San Antonio. And so he got to a place that he wanted to go. I don't think this is a Jimmy Butler situation where Butler had to get paid. Wherever he was going, it was one last big contract. He needed to get paid. Butler played earlier in his career on value deals and was still chasing money down the stretch here with this stuff. Okay, I don't think that's Kevin Durant here. And I think if Kevin Durant's happy in a good situation, and keep in mind, one thing I haven't mentioned yet that's vitally important in all this is Durant's relationship with Ime Udoka, who he adores. And he, listen, Durant wanted Udoka with the Nets right after the Celtics scandal. And the Nets ownership, Joe Tsai, didn't have the stomach for it. And I don't blame him at the time, because at the time, Udoka was somewhat toxic. But Durant finally gets to Houston with Udoka with a chance to win titles. You know, Tillman Fertitta and Raphael Stone sit him down and say, listen, we can pay you this, but if we paid you this, a little bit lower, it makes life easier for us to keep the kind of team around you that you want around you. I think for Durant at this stage of his career, he'd be open to that. Kevin Durant's made a lot of money. He's won scoring titles. He's won MVPs. He's won two titles as essentially the second guy on the Warriors. Curry's won without him. He's never won without Curry. As much as he says it doesn't matter, that burns in him. And if it means taking a couple of less bucks in Houston with all this money he's made that he'll never spend for the rest of his life, that his family will never spend for the rest of his life, if that's what all that means at this point, I would think that he would probably take less, a la what Jalen Brunson did with the Knicks, just to allow them to make sure they can fit everybody in and everybody's going to get to eat with the Rockets and keep a team together.
You know, Jalen Green's never really played with a creator in the backcourt like Devin Booker. If those two remain together on that team, is this a better situation for Jalen Green in the long term?
Any situation for Jalen Green, Seth, where he has a decent amount of usage will be a good situation for him. Where you worry about Jalen Green is if there's too much usage. Like, it's just, you know, it's one of those guys that's trying to diet. You put too much food in front of him, and he's just going to eat. You keep giving Jalen Green the ball, he's going to keep shooting the ball. And that's your worry with him. And listen, there's been rumblings already that Phoenix is maybe looking to move him forward somewhere else to see what else they can get. Like, that there's thoughts there right now. So I don't know how much he lands. Listen, I had heard rumblings Devin Booker wasn't all that crazy about playing with Jalen Green. With that said, this was the best offer Phoenix had by a large margin. Some of the things I've heard about Miami drive me crazy. I don't understand where they are. Miami, there was a possibility. If Miami was willing to throw Nikola Jokic, Jaime Jaquez, and Haywood Highsmith in this deal, they could have actually gotten a deal with multiple firsts done that had them keeping Andrew Wiggins and Khalil Ware. And if they were able to do that and passed on that, can't help them. That's kind of silly, because if they really want to do something now in a weakened East, that would have been a very smart thing for them to do. But they didn't do that. But you look at this Jalen Green situation right now. Phoenix may move on from him and look to see if they can get a veteran that will help more and fit better with Devin Booker. I don't think they think that he's a wonderful fit with Booker, but it was the most asset-rich deal they could possibly make. And really, right now, with where Phoenix has been and what's happened there, they need a dude like Dylan Brooks. They need a dude that's going to bring a seriousness to that locker room and that bench that they kind of haven't had. It's been a little bit of a joke there. And from a leadership standpoint, and some of that's on Kevin Durant, by the way. We don't want to let him off the hook totally about that. Dylan Brooks will help them, but I wouldn't be surprised to see Jalen Green move on before he ever plays a game in a Suns uniform.
Yelts, I hate that there's a player in the NBA whose name is exactly the same as Nikola Jokic, but by one letter. You know, it makes these trade proposals very confusing.
Right?
Yeah, it makes these trade, but like the visual of just skimming on Twitter and seeing that dude's name in a trade, I'm like, well, how did this guy land? How did he land in my, what the hell's going on here? It doesn't play.
You got a Jokic, a Jovic,
yeah,
and a Topic.
Yeah.
Okay, because Topic is to get an OKC that didn't play a game this year and is going to be there next year, 6'6 point guard. It becomes, listen, you definitely need a scorecard.
Dude, yeah, and do they know how much I drink on the weekends, Geltz? You know, you're just skimming things. There's a lot of chance for fake news out of me with this stuff going on.
Sean would have been miserable working at Ellis Island back in the day. They're like, nope, your name is Smith. You're a Jones.
So many names spelled wrong, Seth. Okay, yeah. What would he have done with my name? Oh, my God. Would have taken it and butchered it, really.
Oh, beautiful. Brian Geltziler, you get him on Sirius XM, NBA TV. Geltz, my bad. I forgot to write down your social media ID here as well. It is at...
at B Geltz on Instagram, at B Geltz NBA on Twitter/X. Why it's not the same on both, I'm not even really sure. But, yeah, you know, you can dress me up. You can't take me.
Well, Geltz, hey, man, it's great to catch up with you. Really appreciate the insight. And we'll be talking soon, as always. Appreciate the time, my man. I know it's a busy day for you guys.
Boys.
Yeah,
it is. And I love that basketball is relevant again. The NBA is relevant again in Houston, so I can spend more time talking to you guys. You're always a pleasure. I always love coming on with you guys.
We love it too, Geltz. Appreciate you, my man. We'll talk soon.
Yeah, talk to you soon. Take care, boys.
All right, sounds good. Brian Geltziler joining us on the program here. Good stuff. All right. We've got a lot still to dig into with the Kevin Durant trade. We mentioned this earlier. Kevin Durant, by my count, Seth, is about the 10th former All-Star that's been brought in by the Houston Rockets over the last decade. How has it ended with the others? And does it need to end better with Kevin Durant? Or is this trade a failure? I want to go through some numbers here real quick with the audience in the next segment. We'll do that next. Stay there.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Live from the Mo Karam Injury Lawyers Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Seth, I'm feeling more excitement than disappointment or anger over the Kevin Durant trade, just in terms of the interactions that we're getting today.
Oh, you're feeling that from the listeners. Okay.
The listeners, yeah.
I know you're excited about it, but there's always there's some people that are not fans of this trade.
It was funny though. You laid it out on Friday, I think it was, like, "Hey, if this trade comes down, just know that you'll if you're disappointed in it, you'll, I think you said, in about 12 hours, you'll be excited about it. You
know? Yeah, no, and I was very transparent about it. I had my reservations about whether it's the best thing long term, et cetera, et cetera. As soon as I saw what the compensation was, I was 100% on board with it. Yeah. And I instantly thought it's the best trade in the history of sports. Yes. That's an exaggeration to a certain degree. But I think because all they did was give up Jalen Green and Dylan Brooks and then a bunch of, you know, this year's first and a bunch of second rounders. I thought that was exactly in line with what we thought would be fair compensation. And it does instantly improve the offense in a lot of the areas that it really hurts. Your shooting, the spacing, all of those things, the ability to have some semblance of a competitive half-court offense. Kevin Durant has a trickle-down effect where it's not just his production. He's going to open things up for everybody else. We talked about just in the two big man lineup, now it becomes two big men plus another 7-footer.
Yeah.
And the 7-footer is the guy that opens everything up for you.
It's wild.
Just the possibilities, as long as Kevin Durant is healthy and available, become so much more intriguing than anything they had before.
Yeah, we just had Brian Geltziler on from SiriusXM NBA and NBA TV, and the thing that he said that was jarring to me, but it's really just factual based on the team's behavior, and I'm guessing Gelt hears things behind the scenes as well, but we know they were never giving up Amen Thompson and Alperen Şengün in this deal, ever. The names that came up as parts of packages that maybe Phoenix wanted included Tari Eason, Jabari Smith Jr., and Reed Sheppard. They ultimately trade Jalen Green in this deal, and the way Geltz framed it was very jarring, and it would be very jarring for me if I were somebody that was still willing to die on the Jalen Green is a future all-star hill, because Geltz framed it as you gave up the guy your front office viewed as the sixth most valuable piece of all the young pieces that you have right now.
Yeah.
And that would seem to be based on, at the very least, I don't know if he was viewed as the sixth one or if he's viewed as maybe the fourth most valuable, but they were willing to withstand some pain by giving up that. This I am 1,000% sure of. Like, by the time the playoffs were over, at best he was viewed as your third most valuable young asset. This we know as well. The Rockets sent this message. Kevin Durant is a guy that puts you over the top in terms of making you a true NBA title contender. This team does not feel that Jalen Green can be the best player on an NBA championship team, or else he would still be a Houston Rocket.
I am all for and agree with people who say, man, Jalen Green Hill still has developing to do, and he could be a better version of what he is right now, particularly in the playoffs. And it's just, hey, it's just one bad performance in a playoff series. I get and understand all that, but at the same time, if you look at the manner in which a team was able to shut him down by doubling him, by blitzing him, and him just putting up single digit after single digit after single digit night. The guys that you feel awesome about are guys who are made inefficient by play like that, but still produce in more than one game in the playoffs. So it's a bigger hill to climb than I think a lot of people are really acknowledging if they're saying, hey, he's still young. He's been in the league 4 years. It's not, chronologically by his biological age is young, but that was more of a bad performance than I think some people are willing to concede.
The Rockets over the last 10 years or so, going back to Dwight Howard, have brought in a former All-Star almost like every other year, if not more frequently than that when they were really at their peak, and in varying degrees of former All-Stars. Like Dwight Howard, when he was in Orlando, was a multiple-time defensive player of the year. And there was time you could argue that Dwight Howard was like second or third most impactful player in basketball back when he was with Orlando. But going back to Dwight Howard, they've either traded or signed in free agency Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Joe Johnson, who was a 7-time All-Star before here, Carmelo Anthony for about 2 weeks. Tyson Chandler was an All-Star, at least for one season before he got here. Russell Westbrook, 8-time All-Star before he got here. Boogie Cousins, he was on the wrong end, on the wrong side of an Achilles tear at that point. He was a former All-Star. Victor Oladipo, a former All-Star. John Wall, a 5-time All-Star. Obviously, I'm getting to different degrees of why these guys were brought in. Fred VanVleet was an All-Star 1 year before he got here. They have brought in, Seth, since Dwight Howard, 10 players who have made a combined 54 All-Star berths before becoming a Houston Rocket. Of those 10 players, only two made an All-Star team with the Rockets, and it was each one All-Star game. Dwight Howard, his first year with the Rockets. Russell Westbrook, his only year with the Rockets. And they only had one of those players after they left make an all-star team, and it was Chris Paul, who made it three times with OKC and Phoenix. My point with this is that if Kevin Durant is not an all-star this year, do we feel like the trade is a failure? Because I feel like if he doesn't make the all-star team, it's because he was hurt. You know,
if he doesn't make the All-Star, right, and he's at that status where he's going to make the All-Star game for a couple years even after he doesn't belong in the All-Star game.
Yeah.
So it's more of a knock against him if he doesn't make the All-Star game as it would be for, say, John Wall or somebody like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's got that reputational momentum that carries him on into a couple of garbage All-Star seasons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I don't mean because he was injured. I think, okay, we could disqualify some of those guys
sure.
in terms of they're not in the same variety as the Kevin Durant trade. Like, I would say Joe Johnson, Carmelo Anthony, Tyson Chandler, Boogie Cousins, Victor Oladipo, John Wall, Fred VanVleet as well. Like, you're not,
yeah.
those aren't viewed with that same status as this trade.
Yep.
So it really comes down to Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, Russell Westbrook.
Yep.
Those would be the three trades that feel a lot like this, where, hey, you're bringing in a big name, a guy who's still an impact player,
yep.
and what do you ultimately yield from it? Regardless of all-star games or not, which one of those, obviously Russell Westbrook was the biggest fail of a trade because you ended up blowing up your entire team
yeah.
because of it.
Yeah.
And I feel like the difference between this and the Russell Westbrook trade is that Westbrook came in and immediately you had issues with the how it affected the composition of the team.
Yeah.
You end up trading away Capella, basically, because you've got no use for Capella when you've got all these spacing issues.
Yeah, everything. Robert Covington became your center
yeah,
on that team.
Yeah,
yeah.
The fit is more seamless with Kevin Durant than it was with Russell Westbrook.
I would suggest the fit is more seamless maybe with all three guys, and that's yeah. with them having won 65 games with Chris Paul at point guard that year. The elephant in the room with all three of these guys, and maybe this is the reason it doesn't work out, maybe this is the reason why this text is so silly to me. Any smoke on the word that James Harden wants back in also? I sure hope not. Please, no Harden. Sir or ma'am, I agree with you. The one thing those three guys, Dwight Howard, Chris Paul, and Russell Westbrook, and I totally agree with you, separating those three guys from the rest of the chum that I put in there, they all got sideways with James Harden to some degree. Dwight Howard and yeah. James Harden did not like each other at the end. They were not working well together. Chris Paul and James Harden hated each other at the end, if you believe the news that's out there. And I would say Russell Westbrook, from what I had heard behind the scenes, Seth, is that Russell Westbrook got in the building, and within like the first month or so that he's there, it was like, wow, this is how much leeway James gets, huh?
Yeah.
This is
yeah.
not going to work. Because say what you will about Russell Westbrook, he's a maniacal worker. He may be an odd fit or a bad fit basketball-wise on a lot of teams, and he's certainly not what he used to be as a player. That dude works his ass off. I don't think you can say the same thing about James Harden, and certainly whatever Westbrook saw, that was going to be a short-term relationship. That's why Russ wanted up and out of here so quickly after just one season here. That's the big thing. There's no element like that in the building right now. Man, this is a group of young dudes, by and large, that get along really, really well, that I think a lot like this Oklahoma City team that won last night. Boy, if you watched the trophy presentation last night for OKC and Sam Presti was up there talking, he said, this is a really young team, but these are guys, a lot like how D'Amico describes the young guys on the Texans. They just love basketball. They love the work. And I think the Rockets' young guys are a lot like that as well.
And I think also, if you go to the Chris Paul trade, immediately we talk about, okay, how seamless is the fit? They traded for Chris Paul, and that was super cool. Yet at the same time, immediately you had the question of, okay, we've got two ball-dominant guards here. Exactly how does this yeah. work? And it ended up, you played with an A squad and a B squad for much of the season, which was cool. And I get it, except it wasn't so perfectly a match for what can this guy provide that we lack right now.
Yeah.
That, like, Kevin Durant provides exactly what you lack yeah. right now in a way that none of those other trades really provided. I mean, for me, the age and health are the only concern I have.
Yeah.
I know that Udoka and Durant love each other, so that's not going to be an issue. I have a real hard time seeing any kind of a personality clash between Durant and the other players on this team. We know he and Steven Adams love each other. So I don't see a culture issue whatsoever. So the age and the durability, that's the concern. I don't think that And it's really just the durability and how that's tied to age. Because Durant's game is one that's going to continue to age really well when he's healthy. He's a 7 foot tall shooter. Mm-hmm. Like whatever he loses in speed or anything else like that, just sheer geometry makes up for a lot of it. When we were talking to Geltzeiler, he made a great point, which is that you look at Durant, who's missed serious time in 3 of the last 4 seasons, but also in that time, in these last 4 seasons, he's played more minutes per game than he did in his age 26 through 31 seasons.
Wild, man.
And especially in Phoenix, where, as Gelt said, you know, coaches are coaching for their job. The guys are trying not to get fired. They leaned on him a lot more heavily than they're going to have to, where I think they're going to load manage him extremely. And it won't be annoying because I think he's going to be putting out enough that it's not going to feel like it'll be more about minutes per game than it is him sitting out a bunch of games.
I don't think it'll be annoying to fans because I think they know the deal with Kevin Durant. And also, it's still going to be an incredibly watchable product. Even when Durant's not on the floor. This is not like you're going to a game back in the day where it's LeBron James and then you take him off the floor and it's the LeBronettes out there. You know, like this is a very deep, talented, hungry, young athletic basketball team.
And that's where I think that some people's knee-jerk reaction on this I've seen is that people that perhaps don't pay a whole lot of attention to the league. He's the second best shooter in the league right now by true proof.
He's elite
true
too.
Shooting percentage. Yeah. I mean, he's still very, very effective. He's just been on a bad team.
Yep.
The Suns were 3-17 without him on the floor last year.
They were a bottom of the barrel lottery team without him.
That's the other knee jerk reaction people have is like, well, he didn't lead the Suns to a championship. Right. They're a garbage team.
Garbage.
They were an above 500 team when he was on the floor. They were 3-17 when he wasn't on the floor.
That's a great number, man. It's a great number. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We'll circle back to the trade at the top of the hour and what they're saying about it around the league. This may be the only day we get to do this here in the near term. The Oklahoma City Thunder are your NBA champions. This is the first time I think we've ever done 5 Reasons I Hate You after the fact with somebody or some team. But I watched them last night, and I'm legitimately excited about the Kevin Durant trade because I legitimately hate the Oklahoma City Thunder. And I've got 5 reasons as to why, and I will cover them coming up next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We've got a new NBA champion. We've got a new Houston Rocket. His name is Kevin Durant, and he is going to be tasked with taking down the Oklahoma City Thunder next year. His former team, the team that brought him into the NBA when they were dressed in Seattle Supersonics outfits, the Oklahoma City Thunder are your NBA champs for this year. They turned a 68-14 regular season into the franchise's, as Oklahoma City, the franchise's first NBA championship. Congrats to them. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is not only your regular season MVP, he is your postseason MVP as well. But we're not all that happy about it. There are things I hate about the Oklahoma City Thunder. It's never too early, Seth, to get the necessary vitriol up towards the Thunder that we will require this coming season. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah. It's so back to the good old days of hating, really, really hating the Oklahoma City more than any other team.
Yes.
Putting those really in that really annoying old lady that sits by the scorer's table.
I forgot about her. That's a good reason. Yeah. That's
at various times that remember Pat Beverly was harassed by one of the minority owner's sons at a game.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Bunch of hooligans up there.
A lot of reasons to hate. All right. Number 5 for me. I hate your AT&T commercial with Jalen Williams, Chet Holmgren, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and Chet Holmgren have been in AT&T commercials together before. They've now added Jalen in there because he's an all-star also. Well, Chet Holmgren's not an all-star, but he's a high draft pick. I hate those commercials. I think they're corny. I think those 3 guys are corny. I think they suck at acting, all of those things.
What don't you like about them?
About the commercials or about those 3 guys?
Just about the commercials.
They're part of it. I don't know. It's just their vibe in the commercials, the clothes they wear in the commercial, the way they move in the commercial, the way Chet Holmgren talks They just bother me. I've never seen one of them.
That's why I'm
asking. They're dressed in these black suits, and they're real corny with their little hand. You know, they're little dapping each other up and whatnot. They're just not very likable to me. That's all.
They look like Chet Holmgren looks like like a wannabe gangsta.
Yeah, Chet.
You know, like he's just like he's some kid that grew up in New Jersey and thinks that he's a Soprano just because he's from New Jersey.
And he talks like it too after the game if you hear him talk. So I'll combine this with reason number four, which is Chet Holmgren himself. I almost feel like, Seth, my answer to your question, why are the commercials so bad? Chet Holmgren's in it. Mm. Period. He's annoying. There was a big part of me watching these NBA finals. I'm like, I cannot have the champions of the world, the championship team, have a guy that looks like that on the I know he's effective at doing things and he's long. Dude, he is a beanpole. He broke his hip earlier this year. He's the only person I know under the age of 75 that broke his hip. What the hell?
It's an old man injury.
And the beard and the foofy hair.
Yeah.
Chet Holmgren. No. So that's reason number four.
I feel like he's a broke-ass generic version of Alperen Şengün.
Yeah.
He's
a Timu Şengün is what he is.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, Alex Caruso. Do I need to explain why I hate him so much? He's running around with that headband on. Try hard with the head. Sorry, Aggies. I know he's your guy.
Yeah.
And I know you're an honorary Aggie.
Is the headband as annoying to you as Stephon Curry's mouth guard?
More annoying than that.
Annoying, okay.
Yeah, I'm not as annoyed at Steph Curry's mouth. I mean, I hate the way he chews it at the free throw line or whatever. And we were doing five reasons I hate the Warriors. It might find its way into it.
Yeah.
I just think I'm not a fan of the bald white guy. And I can say this as a bald white guy.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not a fan of the bald white guy with the headband look.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Caruso. And he's annoying. He try hard on defense. He should have played for Duke.
He's got a floor, like a Duke floor slapping
element. He should have played for Duke.
Too, yeah.
He should be slapping the floor every time down. So that's reason number three. Reason number two, I'm watching last night. They didn't even boo Adam Silver during the trophy ceremony. Isn't that tradition? If you're a real sports town, don't you boo the commissioner when he comes up there to present the trophy to your team? Roger Goodell.
In the America I grew up in, it is.
Yeah. This is supposed to be Middle America at OKC, and they don't even know how to do a trophy ceremony properly. I don't.
Oklahoma City is. They probably haven't gotten to the point where. You know, Silver would get booed, even though it wasn't him that, you know, oversaw Seattle, the Supersonics, going to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
Even though it wasn't, it would still, I guess Oklahoma City is young enough, the franchise in Oklahoma City, it's young enough that the fans don't necessarily have as much vitriol built up for the league in general. They don't feel, there hasn't been in many instances of them feeling like the league screwed them over.
Well, no, I mean, the league approved them getting a team, so if anything, they probably love the league there. But you're supposed to hate the commissioner, especially because he comes up with a lot of weird ideas. The in-season tournament, toying with the idea of shortening the games to 40 minutes instead of 48 minutes. What are we doing, man? So you need to, that's the rules, and I'm not a big booer, but when the commissioner goes up there to present a trophy, the tradition, Manfred, Goodell, booed all the time whenever they go up there. So you're an amateur sports city, OKC.
I'll cheer. If the Rockets win a championship, I'll cheer them because I like the in-season tournament.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you really like the in-season tournament,
really,
or are you just messing
like
with me?
No, I really like it. I think it's a great – sorry if somebody's trying to make ways to make the regular season more interesting in the NBA.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't realize you got to hit it out of the park with every single idea. Yeah.
I can still think the idea is dumb. Boy, five reasons I hate this. It's you with the in-season tournament take right there. So that's
Rockets. Where'd they make it this year?
They actually made a little run. Yeah,
it was to the semis or whatever it was.
I forget. Yeah. I'm being a little hypocritical because I did let myself get a little excited about that.
I don't like the way they paint the floor in the in-season tournament.
I don't either. No, now that's a good take. That's very distracting.
Yeah.
Reason number one, and this is maybe me speaking on behalf of Houstonians who lost the Oilers. Speaking on behalf of myself, who lost my beloved Hartford Whalers, Oklahoma City, you are a felonious, team-stealing, hardly major metropolitan area. Shout out to Seattle. That's another, like, if you're a city that stole a team, and by the way, like, stealing Seattle, like, basketball was perfectly fine in Seattle.
Well, they basically, you know what they were? They're almost like war profiteers. They're storm profiteers. because they did such a good showing when the Pelicans had to go up there for Katrina.
Yeah.
That was how they put on their best showing.
Yeah.
The Storm Profiteers.
Yes. That's a great point. I had forgotten about that. You're right. They got a little bit of an audition as an NBA
opportunistic
city.
Meanwhile, a city like Houston actually sacrificed to help people from Katrina.
Yeah.
All Oklahoma City did was say, we'll take your basketball team for a while.
Right.
Sure. And then use that to pivot on to stealing one from somebody else.
And then take all the numbers from the attendance from that period of time and put it on a PowerPoint and say, this is why we should steal the Seattle Supersonics. Yep. Great point. Felonious.
It was the Hornets still back then.
It was the Hornets back then. That was a Chris Paul joint back in the day. Yeah. So those are my five reasons that I hate OKC. This is not a reason to hate them. I just found it weird last night, Seth. The first person that spoke in the trophy ceremony last night was Sam Presti, the general manager, which and this is a little thing, I guess, but like trophy ceremonies, usually like if I'm just thinking of Super Bowl trophy ceremonies. It's usually the owner is the first one up there, hands it off to the head coach, and then the MVP of the game. In this case, it would have been Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, MVP of the series, comes up. Presti got up there and spoke for a good long time about the team putting it. I mean, it was an interesting speech or whatever you want to call it. I just got done with it, and I'm like, I don't ever remember. What would you have to do to get Nick Caserio to speak first, let alone at all, at a Super Bowl presentation if the Texans were to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, some of these questions are absolutely ridiculous.
It's a fair question.
When it comes to the Rockets, I think we would all eagerly anticipate Tillman Fertitta because I feel like he would give an all-timer.
But he's the owner.
And I wouldn't want to hear Raphael Stone. Yeah. I think usually the owner should get it first and the comments should be brief.
Yeah.
Even Bob Kraft, who's got zero charisma. Yeah. If anything, he's got -3 charisma.
Yes.
He'll get up, and he knows his limitations.
Right.
He does some little trademark some trademark slogan that he's trying to profit off of, and then he hands it off to the coach.
Yeah. I tweeted last night. I'm like, I wasn't throwing shade. I'm like, this just seems strange. I don't remember GMs getting up and speaking. David Bassidy, who's now with the, he runs PR for the Atlanta Falcons. He used to be Tom Herman's guy here at U of H for PR, he replied and said it was probably the owner saying just give the mic to Sam. So I'll take that as the reason why. But I just got thinking about the Texans. Like if we're ever, what a great day that would be that they win the Super Bowl. You would have to drag Nick Caserio up to the front of the stage, I think, to do a speech in front of the fans accepting the Lombardi Trophy.
Give me a break.
The next time we do five reasons to hate Oklahoma City, I think it'll be pretty easy. Yeah. I think it might get to the point where you have a hard time calling it out.
Oh, really?
And coming up with some,
okay. Yeah, it'll be during the regular season next year.
We barely touched Shai Gilgeous-Alexander other than him being on the AT&T.
I don't hate him though. That's the thing. I mean, his game is kind of boring, I guess. Like it's all a bunch of mid-range jump shots. Fair. I'll be angry about it by like November of next year. Yeah. I got you. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. 713-572-4610. Let's circle back to the Kevin Durant trade. We'll get to the Astros as well in the 9 o'clock hour. They had a nice weekend. Took 2 out of 3 from the Angels. What are they saying around the NBA about the KD deal? I think my favorite bit of analysis is Kendrick Perkins, which we don't always say on this show, but we'll have that for you coming up next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.